TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning, it's 7-11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We are broadcasting from Washington, D.C. at the Phoenix Park Hotel with the Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row, brought to you by the folks at the Federation for American Immigration Reform and Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We are joined this morning with Art Del Cueto. He is the National Vice President, Tucson Sector of the National Border Patrol Council. Good morning, Art. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Glad to have you on, buddy. I tell you what, let me just ask you, let me start out with this question. Last year, we were talking with a lot of Border Patrol agents, and they seemed almost defeated. Has there been any change in the attitude since President Trump got into office?
Humongous change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a complete twist of attitude that we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, realistically, the attitude that we've had for the last 8 years prior.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, just the way he's spoken to us, the mm-hmm. way he's brought up, to begin with, the National Border Patrol Council. I'm proud to say that, as a National Border Patrol Council Vice President and a local president in Tucson, mm-hmm. we led the charge into an endorsement for President Trump.
Okay.
And, we're very proud of that. But just the attitude has changed across right. the patrol as a whole.
Just because he's giving you that moral support.
Right. It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, and just like you said, we had felt defeated.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of things that need to be done.
Sure.
I believe that President Trump is realizing at the same time that the swamp is not easy to drain.
Right. Yeah.
We have a lot of holdovers from the Obama administration still in a lot of key leadership positions mm-hmm. within the Border Patrol. And I think that's a big issue. That's what's throwing a lot of wrenches in what we need to do and accomplish still.
Right. Now, you are in the Tucson sector. This is a hotbed for drug smuggling, right?
Correct.
What percentage of drugs comes in the United States comes through your sector?
They've estimated that over 50% of all drug seizures in the entire country are apprehended in our area. Over 50% of all the drug seizures are apprehended. That's we don't have a clear number on what gets through, of course.
Right, right.
But what's being apprehended is that there was a study a couple years ago by CBP, I believe, that showed that I think they were 51% effective mm-hmm. in what they were apprehending.
Wow.
So if we're over 50% of all the drug seizures in the country, and they're saying they're 51% effective, that means 49% are coming through.
Right.
That's scary.
That is very scary. Now, you've been on CNN, HBO's Vice, other programs, showing reporters,
Fox
and Fox News, of course, yeah, the real barriers between the U.S. and Mexico. What is it like actually being out there and patrolling in the desert?
I work on the Tahanaatam Reservation, which uh-huh. is a Native American tribe down there.
Right.
And you're looking at it's over 60 miles of linear miles with that borders Mexico. And that area, it's very limited what we have as a barrier.
Right.
And I know a lot of people ask, well, the wall, how about the wall? How about this? You know, President Trump promised a wall. I think it's using the word the wall
yeah.
is also a way to say it's a type of barrier.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be brick and mortar.
Right.
There's a lot of things we need besides that wall. We need, more agents. We need more technology. And above all, we need to enforce the laws.
Right.
A lot of the issues that we're still facing today is we're arresting these individuals. We're turning them over to ICE when ICE doesn't mm-hmm. find enough reason to hold them any longer, and they don't have the facilities to hold them.
Right.
We're hearing that they're being released again like they used to before in the administrations.
But they're being released in this country, right?
Yeah, they're being released in the United
they're
States.
They're not being sent back. They just release them right here.
So the way it happens is that you arrest them, you fingerprint them. If you don't find any prior criminal history in the United States, which you're not going to find because a lot of these guys, it's the first time they cross, right?
Yeah.
But there's no way for me to tell what crimes they've committed in their country.
Right.
And so you give them a date, an immigration date.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold them. So you say, let's say, where are you going? A lot of them are going to Boston, North Carolina,
right.
South Carolina. And you say, when you get to where you're getting, find the nearest immigration court and go talk about
it. You know they're going to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, right? I think they believe. I was told 1% actually goes. So
oh, really?
God bless that honest 1%, right?
That's right. So why Boston? Why the Northeast? Why are they headed up there?
We've never figured it out. Obviously, a lot of the Central Americans go to Boston. A lot of the Brazilian people, they go to Boston.
Right.
It's just, I probably, there's some kind of work that they're getting over there.
Yeah.
It's very, very damaging. And a lot of these individuals, it's not like it used to be, you know, the simple mom and pop shops.
Right.
When I first started working for the agency 14 years ago, the first group that I apprehended was right around 80. And I apprehended a group of 80 individuals by myself. And they all listened to my commands. I waited half an hour for my backup to arrive and transport them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you catch a group of 3, 4, 5, and you better be ready to fight.
Right.
Because they're 3, 4, 5 individuals that are extremely aggressive.
There is a different element now it's crossing the border.
Completely different element. Completely different element.
Like you said, it's gone from the stereotypical mother, father, child coming to this country to make a better way for themselves.
Correct.
Now we've got the gun runners, we've got the human traffickers, we've got the drug cartel.
You just have everything. It's a bigger game that's being played, and I think they believe, you know, you catch a group of five, they believe if one of them fights, you're going to be too busy fighting with that one, the others are going to be able to run off.
Right.
It's a different game. The assaults on agents has gone up.
Right.
You know, prior to President Trump taking office, we had issues during the Obama administration where agents were getting assaulted, and we were not seeing prosecutions of these individuals for assaulting the agents. That's something that I've always thought was a big deal. We talked to some of the prosecutors at times, and they'd say, well, you know, if you're not bleeding, it's difficult for us to prosecute. I tell a story real quick. There was an agent down there that was assaulted. He was kicked repeatedly in the head, kicked in the face. The apprehension was made. He had swelling, and the prosecutor said, we can't prosecute. There was no blood. And then you fast forward it just a week after that in a nearby county down in Maricopa County where Sheriff Joe Arpaio, sure you've heard of him, was the sheriff at the time, an illegal alien, punched a horse. Sheriff Joe Arpaio prosecuted him for cruelty to animals.
Yeah.
And that really opened up my eyes that I said, here you have a Border Patrol agent putting his life on the line every single day, getting rocked, getting shot, getting spit on, getting attacked, that gets kicked and beat. And they won't prosecute him. But you go to a nearby county and they hit a horse. They punch a horse and he gets prosecuted.
Right.
That puts, how much did they really care about Border Patrol agents back then, you know?
Talking with Art Del Cueto, National Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council. Still have to have screens and wire and mesh on the trucks down there because of the rock attacks?
Yes. I mean, it's still very, very prevalent. We're still getting rocked. We're still getting, I mean, you name it. It's happening. We have the mesh on a lot of the vehicles that are near the border. I'm near the reservation, so we don't have some of those things.
Right.
It's a little harder there because of treaties and understandings that we have with the nation, but it makes our job so much more difficult.
Right.
There's areas where we can't put sensors because, you know, certain areas it's holy land for the reservation, so we can't do a lot of things. It's been very, very difficult in that area still. And like I said, that particular area in Tucson sector on the Tejano Autumn Reservation is where they're really arguing that they don't want a barrier, they don't want a wall.
Right.
But it's very needed there. Over 50% of the drugs coming into the entire United States are in that area alone.
Yeah.
I think you need to do something.
Absolutely. But there's hope.
There's definitely hope. I think with this new administration, with President Trump taking office, there's a lot of hope. But like I said, there's still a lot of leaders left, high-level leaders within Border Patrol that are leftovers from the Obama administration.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of swamp to be drained still.
Absolutely. Art Del Cueto, we appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:42, 18 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up a little bit after 8 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Kevin Jackson from the Black Sphere about immigration. We are in Washington, D.C. this morning, broadcasting from the Phoenix Park Hotel at the Federation for American Immigration Reform's Hold Their Feet to the Fire radio row. And I'll tell you what, we've talked to, just a few minutes ago, we talked with Art Del Cueto from the National Border Patrol. I tell you what, the stories that these guys are telling this morning about what they are going through, but they all seem to have the same message. that in the past year, since President Trump has been in office, at least the morale is better because they are getting that moral support that they have been missing for the past 8 years. They're getting that not only moral support, they're also getting, the support in other ways. Financially, they're getting more agents hired. They're getting, you know, there's some hope for these folks out there instead of just going out and patrolling the border and feeling like you're not really doing your job. And one of the incredible things that that Art was telling us a few minutes ago was that when they catch these people that are coming across the border, these illegal aliens, they are fingerprinting them and letting them go. But they let them go in this country. They don't turn them around. They don't send them back to Mexico. They don't send them back to Central America. They release them here. And then they say, hey, wherever you go, you know, whenever you get to where you're going, why don't you check in with your local ICE agent? And what did Art say? 1% of those people actually do that? Now, those are the people that we don't mind having in this country. Those are the people, the ones that will come here and abide by the law. I don't have a problem with immigration. I don't think many people have a problem with immigration. We just want it done legally. We want to know who you are. We want to know your background. We want to know why you want to come into this country. But the vast majority of people, and that's why I was so happy to hear that the Supreme Court, and we knew it would, the Supreme Court upheld this moratorium on travel to the United States that President Trump had, that, of course, the Ninth. How wacko do you have to be on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals when Ruth Bader Ginsburg rules against you? You got to be way out there on the left when Ginsburg rules against you. So those folks out there at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves. But we all knew that was going to happen. It was merely a stall tactic. That was it. This judge in Hawaii, the Ninth Circuit Court of, it was all just a delay tactic because they knew once it got to the Supreme Court, the conservative, and it wasn't even the conservatives that upheld this travel moratorium. It was all nine of them, every single one. There wasn't one dissenting vote in the bunch. Yeah. Again, like I said, you got to be pretty wacko when Ginsburg rules against you. WTMA!
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. 7:51, 9 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com, as we broadcast live this morning from Washington, D.C. at the Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference with the Federal Federation for American Immigration Reform. And we're going to be talking with Kevin Jackson from the Black Sphere coming up in just a little bit. Also, Fred and Peggy Davis will be on with us. They are ranchers out in Arizona. We're going to talk to them about how the immigration issue that they have had on their ranch, how that's changed over the past year, or at least since January the 20th, if at all. We'll have Sheriff Thomas Hodson on with us this morning around 9:35. And tomorrow, looking forward to this, we are going to have Michelle Malkin on with us. Of course, you all know Michelle Malkin. She is absolutely fantastic. And everybody around here is buzzing over her being here on the radio row coming up tomorrow. So we'll be talking with her tomorrow morning. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Still don't have a whole lot of details on this active situation going on out there at Ashley Phosphate. This man has barricaded himself up. Wait a minute, do we have anything new? I don't see anything new right now. Apparently there is a woman in the house that has been that is suffering a gunshot wound. He has barricaded himself in. So we certainly hope this can come to some sort of a peaceful resolution here in the next few minutes, because we certainly don't need any more shootings in North Charleston, do we? Not that we have right now. And what was it? It's kind of starting to get on my nerves a little bit. Where every time, you know, we had that officer-involved shooting. How long is it going to be whenever we have an officer-involved shooting here in the Low Country when they stop comparing it to Walter Scott? When how long is that going to be? How long do we have to get over that? Every single time, it doesn't matter if the person was guilty, doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter what the perpetrator, what crime the perpetrator committed, it's always going to go back to Walter Scott. And I don't, I'm just, I'll be really glad when they stop trying to change the police and they start trying to change the criminals. That is what I would like to see. Should Walter Scott have been shot in the back? No, absolutely not. But you know what? He also shouldn't have ran from police. He also shouldn't have tried to grab the taser. He also shouldn't have had $60,000 in outstanding child support. He shouldn't have fled the car. Yada, yada, yada. He should have complied with police officers. And we've seen that time and time again. And now you see the other incident here with the officer involved shooting. So, but there you go. That's what you got. Because that makes headlines. It was just like we were talking about Art Del Cueto. They won't even prosecute an attack on a Border Patrol agent unless the agent is bleeding. Unless there is visible blood on the agent, they will not go after any type of prosecution from these illegal aliens, that are coming into this country, the skirmishes that are happening on our border, and they're underreported. They really are, because the media doesn't care. The media does not want that narrative to be put forth to you. They don't care about that. They don't want you to know about that. I read a great quote, I think it was Voltaire, that said, he who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Huh? Think about that. And think about how the media underreports it. Think about then what is going on with CNN, where you had Project Veritas, and that CNN producer, doesn't matter what this guy on Fox News on The Five last night said, this guy was a Fox News producer, and he admits the whole Russian thing is absolute BS. There's no proof of it. There's no evidence of it. There's nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. But they keep pushing this narrative, even though they know there's nothing there. Because why? It's all about ratings. That's the big ratings win for them these days. Even though there's nothing there. So they will take and they will try to destroy a presidency over ratings. That's where the media is these days. That's what they choose to be. And that's what, again, the person that can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And that's what they're doing with the American people. We saw this, boy, I tell you what, Planned Parenthood, I don't know how much money they're spending in Washington, D.C., but they are everywhere. Everywhere. There's a, is it HBO or Showtime or Netflix or something like that that's got this television show, The Handmaid's Tale? Am I right about that, Sheila? Netflix. And these women, Handmaid's Tale, whatever the thing is about. But they, when we got here, there was a big protest going on right outside the hotel. It was walking by the hotel as they were making their way to the Capitol. And they were all dressed in these red robes with these white hats. They weren't really white hats. There was more like it was construction paper. It was literally, it was poster board made to look like a hat. And anyway, they were coming by here. It was pretty dramatic looking. And I got a blurry picture of it, so I didn't post it online or anything. But they were trying to, you know, they had their protest. And come to find out, last night we saw that it was actually a Planned Parenthood protest. And we went over to Union Station yesterday, and they're handing out Planned Parenthood stickers and all of that. I don't know why. Do I have a certain look about me where they didn't offer me a sticker yesterday? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I look like I had bathed recently, or I was actually looking presentable yesterday. But they were certainly spending a lot of money. There's a lot of volunteers going on here in Washington, D.C., with Planned Parenthood. So they're definitely, they've got the ground game here. The liberals have the ground game. And I was thinking last night, it has got to be so easy to be a liberal. It's got to be easy. Because you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to really think. You don't have to really accept responsibility. You don't have to really worry about who's going to pay for what. All you have to do is talk about what is going to make you feel good. What's the feel-good stuff? Well, I think everybody should have health care. Well, who's going to pay for it? Well, the rich people, they can afford it. That's easy. That's the easy way out. But, boy, I tell you what, when you get down to actually having to solve problems and issues and put feelings aside, that's when the grown-ups have to take over in the room. It really is. That's when the grown-ups have to take over.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com, as we broadcast live from the FAIR Conference, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and the Hold Their Feet to the Fire Conference here in Washington, D.C., brought to you in part by Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Now, coming up next hour, we'll be talking with Fred and Peggy Davis, also Sheriff Thomas Hodgson will be on with us to talk about what is the appeal. I mean, we just heard from Art Del Cueto about the how many people are illegally coming into this country, and it seems like they'll come in through Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and once they get here, they take a right and they head northeast to New England and places like Baltimore and Boston and stuff like that. So I'm going to ask him, what is the allure? What is the appeal to that area of the country where these people want to get there as soon as possible? And then, of course, we heard about how they were just, you know, when they are caught, they just release them right back into this country. And there's no big deal. Hey, no harm, no foul. Just when you get to where you're going, go ahead and check in with your local ICE agent, if you don't mind. You wouldn't mind doing that, would you? No follow-up, no nothing. That's what's wrong. That's what, when we say that we need more border security, that's what we're talking about. Now, I'm one of these people that says, listen, I wish we didn't have to have a wall. I really do. I hate the thought of a wall on our southern border. However, we shouldn't need to have it. But we are at the point right now where we have to have it. Now, this is the same thing that Bill Clinton said he wanted. Obama said he wanted more border security as far as a barrier is concerned. Hillary said she wanted a barrier. So just kind of very disingenuous now that all of these people are saying, well, you know, you can't build. We need bridges, not walls. We need bridges. It's just, it's hyperbole. It's just, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. And you can say anything you want, but there are people who want to come to this country and cause us great harm. That's just it. You know they're out there. And the only problem is we don't know who they are. That's why I think it's a great thing that the Supreme Court upheld President Trump's travel ban, or moratorium, if you will. I think that's a very good thing. Now, there were some parts that they upheld, and I think it's going to go back before the full court in October to see if the entire thing will be instated, but I certainly hope it does. I certainly hope it does. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Kevin Jackson right here on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
Hurricane season is here, and 1250 WTMA wants to make sure you're ready. Download the WTMA Hurricane Preparedness Guide from WTMA.com. It's free, and it's full of life-saving information. Brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America.
1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:20, 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We are at the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire Conference here in Washington, D.C., and we are talking about immigration. We're being joined this morning by Kevin Jackson. Kevin's a radio host, Fox News contributor. You may have seen him on Tucker Carlson last night. He was the one guy on the panel that knew how to actually tie a tie. How are you, Kevin? Good to see you.
Good to talk to you, man. Always good to be here.
Yes, sir. You know, Kevin, we're seeing a lot of folks Talk about the resistance movement. What are they trying to resist? What are they resisting?
Resist we much.
That's right. Resist we muchly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that the Democrats have gotten their butts kicked across the board. Trump's 5-0. He just got the travel ban upheld by the Supreme Court.
That's right.
And I predict, I don't know, I haven't looked into the governor's races, but there are two governor's races coming up. And if he wins those, then I don't know where the Democrats have to go. Look, over the last 8 years with Barack Obama, they've lost 1,080 seats, not including these special elections.
Right.
And you've watched this slow turn of the nation shifting back to the right. And suddenly these guys go, let's resist. You've been resisting.
Right.
And America has spoken. 1,080 times plus, they have said, we're sick of you. We're sick of your policies because it's upside down. There's nothing we'll talk about today, you and me, where you tell me the leftist policy that will make any type of common sense.
Right.
Letting in borders. Do you lock your car?
Absolutely.
You lock your home?
Absolutely.
Would you close your fence at your home if you are a gate? Yeah. So if I showed up there and was doing a barbecue and I had my boom box and all my family in your backyard when you got home, you'd be a little miffed, even though we're buddies.
That's right.
You'd be like, Kevin,
what's up?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Look, I like you, bro.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might want to let a dude know that you're coming by the casa.
That's right.
So that's just common sense.
Yeah.
So we have people that come into this country. They don't tell us, hey, guys, guess what? I'm coming in.
Right.
I know I'm not due to be there. I know I'm not going to be positive to your income, and I'm probably going to eat your barbecue and, you know, drink your beer. But they don't even let us know that. They just show up, drink our beer, eat our barbecue, and then go deal with it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make common sense at the street level guy. Mm-hmm. He sees that and goes, that makes no sense. So it's up to us to translate that.
But it's a feel good issue, Kevin. It feels good to say, yes, we need to let everyone come in. Yes, everyone. But somebody's going to damn pay for it.
It's a good argument that when, you know, for the left, and when we let them get away with that. It also feels good when your kids aren't being slowed down because you've got to teach X number of languages.
Right.
Or you've got kids that have diseases and things that they come in. We had a problem a while back when we had those, when Obama let in like 64,000 immigrants from El Salvador or something. We had scurvy and all these different little diseases.
Things that we hadn't had in a while.
Hadn't had in ages. And so you have that. You have them slowing down, you know, your learning of your kids in school. That's what's really jacking up the education system. And it affects minorities in disproportionate ways. Black kids and brown kids are the one impacted. These kids aren't going into Nancy Pelosi's grandchildren's school systems. They're going into, you know, Joe Schmo. They're going into Ray Ray's school district. So you have that. Then you have a friend of mine. She's a nurse. She says we have 117 translators in our hospital. I didn't even know there were 117 languages.
117.
117 paid translators. So, because they have to do all these obscure languages and dialects because they have to be ready for whoever comes in. All this is multiculturalization BS, PC BS, that looks good on paper. Oh, you're being humanitarian. Look, I don't want to turn anybody away that gets sick in this country or whatever, but to come here and think you can stay because you birthed the child here and you want to use the 14th Amendment for that's ridiculous. And so the humanitarian thing is quite the opposite. The best resource of a country is not its gold, it's not its oil, it's not its, you know, precious metals or whatever. It is its people.
Right, right.
And so every time an illegal crosses our border, we are effectively condoning the theft of the resources of a country.
Right.
And we should
You're
devaluing them.
The asset.
Right. And we should be encouraging them to go back. What does it say if your kids go, I want to live with Kevin? What does that say about you as a parent?
Right.
I mean,
hey, wait a minute. What's wrong with daddy?
What did I do? Daddy, you beat me and you don't give me money and I can't make a living.
But Uncle Kevin will.
But Uncle Kevin.
And that's what I talk about. I always say that this is the difference between the parenting mentality and the babysitter mentality. The babysitter mentality, when those parents get home, those kids have to be alive and you've done your job. Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. The babysitter doesn't have to worry about your education. The babysitter doesn't have to worry about, you know, your schooling or your medical or your health care. You got to be alive when the parents get home.
Absolutely. But, going back to this, what I'm trying to say is when we have to embarrass the countries that are I would say to Mexico, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Why do I have to take care of your kids?
Right.
Why do your kids want to leave you as a parent? So when people ask me all the time, Kevin, why would you fix it? I'd fix it by embarrassing Mexico. I'd fix it by embarrassing these countries, you know, who are run so poorly that their citizens want to leave. There are 65.3 million people on the run in refugee from refugee areas around the world. The most in the history of man. Almost all of them come from countries that are either Muslim or, you know, some third world armpit.
Right.
And they come here with the expectation that the United States should take care of them. I would go nowhere with the expectation that somebody must take care of me. My first thought would be, how can I become self-sufficient?
Exactly. Looking at the front page of the Washington Post this morning, Libyan Coast Guardman watches over migrants Tuesday during the rescue of 147 people off the coastal town of Zawiya.
Yeah.
Anything interesting about that picture?
Probably all guys.
All men.
Yeah.
All men of fighting age. I'm looking, I think I see one child on that thing. And that's it.
Well, so we look at it, we look at immigration from the standpoint of, you know, just like jumping across the border from Mexico or something like that, or even the Chinese that were having these birthing centers in California, things like this.
Right.
But there is the refugee part of it that says, and this was done by Obama, that says, look, you know, it's all good with the Muslims and, you know, they're really the religion of peace and all that. And we found out there were 174 Muslim attacks during Ramadan where 1,365 people died during the holy month of peace.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but in 1970, just as a thought exercise, how many attacks in the decade of the 70s, Muslim terror attacks, do you think occurred?
I would say 300.
One. In Saudi Arabia at the Grand Mosque in 1980s. Let me just walk you through.
Yeah.
There were 13. And total attacks in the decade. In the 1990s, there were 35. Now we have that many attacks in a day.
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It is. And so when you look at these things and you put them, you know, all together and you say, what should we be doing? We should be protecting the American citizen first and foremost. And and for the record, that's why the Democrats lost. When Trump said, we're going to make America great again, and he started the America First thing, these people were like, what are you talking about? What's America First? Why do we have, you know, it's almost like, why do you run the race? I run the race to win.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, but they look at it as like, well, you're pompous, America. You want to be first. Yeah, you're Dame Skippy.
Yeah,
we want to be first.
Yeah, that's right. And it's that mentality, that first mentality that took us to the moon, that, that made air travel possible, that made the automobile, it's that American exceptionalism that we've got to get back to. And you can't do that if you if we do, like you say, water down our biggest natural asset, and that is our people. Kevin Jackson from the Black Sphere, thank you, buddy.
My
pleasure. Appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:41, 19 minutes until 9 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. John, you want to perk your ears up here. We have Robert Spencer. He is a national security expert. And John, Robert's mother worked at WTMA back in the 70s. Barbara Spencer.
Yes,
is that right?
Absolutely. He was there a lot of times. I hung around there a lot.
Oh, that's fantastic. And in fact, his wife just sent him a picture of an old WTMA mug that you
still
might
have
be interested
it.
In. That's fantastic. Well, Robert, welcome to the program this morning. Thank you. We are at the FAIR Conference on Immigration Reform here in Washington, D.C., brought to you by Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Robert, how important is a good immigration system to our national security?
Charlie, it's extraordinarily important. It cannot be overstated.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the Islamic State, ISIS, in February 2015, they threatened they were going to soon flood Europe with 500,000 refugees. The refugees started coming right after that.
Right.
And there were jihadis embedded among them. The Paris attackers who killed 130 people in November 2015, all eight of them were refugees who had just come into Europe the month before.
Right.
And Tashfeen Malik, the San Bernardino shooter who, along with her husband, killed 15 people at a Christmas party in December 2015, she was a refugee who had passed five separate background checks from five different U.S. agencies. They all did her extreme vetting, and they let her go. And this indicates there is a severe national security problem, as the president has pointed out, with refugees and with immigration in general, and this is why we need his travel ban.
Now, we know that we won't be able to get everybody, that somebody will pass through the net, but the people that we will catch up in the net, I think that far outweighs the ones that are going to get through. I mean, we've got to do something. I was so glad to see the Supreme Court uphold this travel moratorium. Why would folks like the Ninth Circuit and the judge out in Hawaii, why would they want to block this when it's well within the president's right to do?
Well, you know what's noteworthy about all the blocks is that they never even mentioned the salient law that said right. that it's well within the president's right to do it.
Yeah.
They just ignored the law altogether, and they said he just hates Muslims,
right.
and so he can't do this. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing, even if that were true, and there isn't any evidence for it, even if that were true, there is nothing in the law that says the president can't block immigration if he hates Muslims.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right,
yeah. But the president doesn't hate Muslims. The bans are about keeping out people who want to kill Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard choice here. We either inconvenience some people who are harmless, or we keep out some people who are harmful. But there's no other choice.
Yeah, I mean, just because you are inconvenienced, like you say, because of this travel ban, that doesn't usurp the rights of Americans to be safe.
Absolutely. Nobody has some sort of a natural right to come to the United States. The president's foremost responsibility and duty is to protect American citizens, and that's what the immigration ban's about.
What are we going to see over the next few years in Europe?
We're going to see chaos. We're going to see civil war. We're going to see bloodshed in the streets on a scale unimaginable up to now.
How many immigrants do you imagine have gone into Europe right now from Middle Eastern countries?
Oh, well over a million, and
okay.
there are going to be many more coming.
So let's say a million people amassed on the border of Germany. A million people there on the border. You think Germany would be put on high alert?
Well, you know, a million people did amass on the border of Germany, and Merkel just let them in.
Let them in, right.
And there are any number of jihadis among them. She didn't care.
And it's unbelievable to me that these people are coming in, folks like Merkel, and now we're seeing Macron over in France. Even Merkel said that Islam is the future of Germany.
Yeah. Well, that's civilizational suicide.
Yeah.
There are a lot of peaceful Muslims who are coming into Germany just to have a better life. That's great.
Right.
But there is absolutely no doubt that there are others who are coming to conquer and Islamize Germany. They will deny basic rights to women and to non-Muslims and transform Germany in a way that nobody could have imagined.
Mm-hmm. And they want to do that here.
Absolutely.
And what do they say? Where Islam is a minority, they want equal rights. Where they are majority, they deny rights to everyone.
Absolutely. There's a saying of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, that Islam did not come to be dominated, but to dominate.
Right.
Islam is not here to coexist with other religions, as the founder of the Council on American Islamic Relations said back in the
90s. Right, right.
It's here to become the only law of the land. And this is the imperative that all too many Muslims have. It's going to be a source of conflict for untold generations unless there is some sensible immigration reform put in.
So are there peace-loving Muslims in the world, in our country, that just want to go about their lives, raise their kids and go to work?
Oh, absolutely, Charlie. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
The problem is we can't distinguish when we have people trying to come into the country. We cannot distinguish them from supremacists who want to impose Islamic law and subjugate the rest of us.
Yeah, and that's and by the time you find out that there is, you know, this radical Islamist out there, it's a lot of times too late.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have something like the San Bernardino Christmas party.
Right. Yeah, it's just absolutely a tragedy. So when are the leaders of the world What kind of a tragedy is it going to take for people to wise up?
I don't think it's going to take anything because we've seen so much already in Europe. And we saw just this Ramadan with the Manchester attack and the London attack.
Right.
And the UK is not showing any signs of changing its policies toward this. What we have are a lot of socialist internationalists who are leading the governments of Europe. And they want to destroy the nation state. They want to tear down all borders and erase all distinctions between people. They're enabling this to happen. What we need are some sensible nationalists who want to protect their people elected to office. And so far, that's not happening, except here in the United States.
But every time you hear the word nationalism, it's always in a bad light.
Yeah, but there's, you know, just because there was nationalism that was evil doesn't mean that all nationalism is evil.
That is
true. I mean, if you apply that, then socialism should certainly be ruled out because there's been plenty of evil done in its name.
Well, we're seeing it down in Venezuela right now, aren't
Absolutely.
We? Yeah. All right. Robert Spencer, we appreciate you being on the program this morning, buddy. It was great catching up with
you. It's an honor, Charlie. Thank you. I'm very proud to be on WTMA.
Well, we are glad to have you. It's 13 minutes until 9 o'clock on The Big Talker. You say it.
WTMA.
1250 WTMA.
Here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com as we broadcast from Washington, D.C. At the Phoenix Park Hotel. And we are just down the street from the Capitol Building with the Federation for American Immigration Reform and the Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference on immigration. Coming up in just a few minutes, going to be talking with Fred and Peggy Davis. They are ranchers in Arizona, and we're going to find out how their lives have changed over the past year. Also, we got Sheriff Thomas Hodgson from Bristol County, Maine, or Massachusetts, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, this is pretty interesting. A new island's popped up along the North Carolina coast. How does this happen? I thought the sea levels were rising. I don't know how this works. New stretch of land has been nicknamed Shelly Island by folks who visit, saying it's the perfect spot to collect seashells. It formed there off the tip of Cape Point on the Outer Banks near a popular fishing spot, spot there, and the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. Now, it's a sandbar about a mile long and about 300 yards wide, been pretty popular with people who like to get out there and collect shells. But it started out just a little bitty thing, and then it has grown, apparently, over the past couple of weeks to become quite the little landmass there. So it is a brand new island, and I'm looking at it. That's a pretty nice little thing they got going on here. It's very cool, kind of a half moon shaped, crescent moon shaped little area there off the Outer Banks in North Carolina. Shelly Island, they are calling it. But how does this happen? I thought the water levels, the sea levels were rising to where they were just going to be swallowing up beaches, but apparently not so. Over in Ireland, same thing has happened. There was a beach that got washed away and has been gone for 33 years. 33 years. Now just imagine that. These folks over there in Ireland going, well, I think I'll go to the beach this morning. Let me just put on my bathing suit and head over to the beach. Where did the beach go? Will somebody please tell me where the beach? Oh, begorra, the beach is gone now. So 33 years, and it comes back. The beach is back. Oh, there it was. I should, could have sworn it was around here somewhere. And there it is again. There it is. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Man, I want to thank Robert Spencer for being on the program this morning. I had no idea that Robert's mother worked at WTMA back in the 70s. That was very cool. And talking about national security as far as immigration is concerned. But it's more than just national security. It really affects us on a day-to-day level. In fact, $113 billion. They say that the wall, this wall that President Trump is looking at building, is going to cost about $10 billion. Oh, okay. That sounds like that's a pretty good price tag on a wall, right? However, that is a drop in the bucket compared to what illegal immigration costs each taxpayer at the federal, state, and local level, $113 billion. And we all get to share into that. $84 billion, that's absorbed by state and local governments. The average illegal alien household takes in $14,387 more in benefits than it pays in taxes. And that's one of the, saw that argument last night on Fox News. Oh, you know, they pay, these are taxpayers out there. Yeah, well, you're using more than you're putting in. And since some of these costs are borne by state and local taxpayers, the cost per household varies by the size of the area's illegal alien population. So while you may not feel it in the Outer Banks in North Carolina, you might not feel it there, but I'll guarantee you, down in Brownsville, Texas, they are definitely feeling it. The annual cost to educate the children of illegal aliens, $44.8 billion. $44.8 billion. To educate the kids of illegal aliens. Imagine what we could do with that $44.8 billion
as far as educating our own children is concerned. I mean, you know, you do not have a right to come to this country. You do not have a right. There's nothing that says that you can just walk into this country and start using up the assets that we have because you don't put into the system. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody. I know, you know, got some very good friends who have come in and legally become immigrants of the United States. Fantastic. Love to have those folks. Love to have them. Nick Adams is one of them. Eric Corcoran is another one. Came over from Ireland. Wonderful people who legally immigrated into this country. Why? Because they want to be a part of American exceptionalism. But these folks who are coming here that want to take away from American or deny American exceptionalism, that's the problem. That's the problem that we have with some people. And they want to come in and they want to take from the system, but they don't want to give back. And multiculturalism, Katie Hopkins over over in England, she's got a radio show over there on LBC. I think it's just she had a fantastic saying, and that was multiculturalism creates ghettos. And that's exactly what happens. And it happens in the bigger cities. It happens in London. It happens in Paris. It happens in our bigger cities here in America. So coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Fred and Peggy Davis. They are ready to go. We spoke to them a year ago. Can't wait to talk to them again. Sheriff Thomas Hodson is going to be on the show around 9:35. So going to be some interesting conversation coming up. We are in Washington, D.C. with the Federation for American Immigration Reform and the Hold Their Feet to the Fire Conference with WTMA.
1250 WTMA. I'm Fred Story, 1250 TMA Total News. Depend on it. Now it's Chris Plant.
No. It's Charlie in Washington.
Oh, I'm sorry. Charlie in Washington. My God, where is all the time going?
Not all going right, 6 minutes enough for you, huh?
6 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com, live from Washington, D.C. We are joined with a couple that we met last year here at the conference. We've got Fred and Peggy Davis on with us. They are Arizona cattle ranchers. Fred, Peggy, how are you this morning?
We are doing well. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you back. Let's talk a little bit. Now, the last time we talked, it was a year ago. Has anything changed over the past year as far as what you have to deal with on your ranch there in Arizona?
Well, there are the numbers are down.
Yeah.
And the arrests are down. We still have drug trafficking. Mm-hmm. That still remains, you know, the same problem. And the morale of the Border Patrol is up.
Right.
We found that the agents are just thrilled that they can now at least enforce the law the way mm-hmm. they stand on the mm-hmm. books. There's, you know, improvements in that way. However, we still need agents closer to the international boundary.
Right.
That really hasn't changed very much.
So you're 25 miles from the border, right?
Yes.
So, Fred, are you still going through your home, like you told us last year, each night armed, checking to make sure every room is okay?
No, you know, both of my adult children are uh-huh. now living on the ranch as
okay.
well. And it's not often that one of us isn't there all the time.
Okay.
So it gives us quite a little more security than we
gotcha.
Used to have. And the numbers are down a lot. But that's sort of a false security because those that are coming now are bringing drugs are a lot more dangerous
right.
than just the people.
Yeah, you told us last year that the people going through your property had really changed from the mother, father, and the child coming through the property to go make their, you know, make a better way in America. That had changed, and now you're talking about the cartels that are coming through, right?
Now they're more dangerous. Not
yeah.
so many. But the ones that are there are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So is it I just can't imagine. What does it look like? Do you just look out your window there in the kitchen and go, well, there's another one.
We used to be able to see a lot mm-hmm. by looking out our kitchen window. Now they come in the middle of the night. They don't want to be confronted or captured.
Right.
We have the worst of the worst, and they're more elusive and they're very good at it now. So we don't see them. We see evidence of them from time to time, and we did have, Fred could tell you about it, a drug runner that tried to come through in a truck recently.
Last fall, we actually had a drive-through on our ranch. Four vehicles breached the border close to Douglas. They sent people slightly west of there, a group of people, so all the agents ran down there to catch these people, and they cut the wall down, drove through. We're 35 miles from where they breached the border, and I guess, anyway, they drove cross-country across my ranch for about 8 miles, ran through five different fences.
Wow.
In the moonlight, had blackout on the vehicle, no lights whatsoever, and finally got stuck in a very rough area, and the Border Patrol apprehended three of the four guys. They had 2,800 pounds of marijuana in the truck.
Oh, my gosh. That's a ton and a half of pot there in the truck. So how does it make you guys feel when you're going through this on your ranch? How does it make you feel when you see some of these Democrats and liberals stand up and say, you know what, we need to open up, we need to build bridges, not borders. Do you want a bridge into your ranch?
No, we've had a bridge in our ranch for the last 25 to 30 years. And it's one of those things, if they had listened to us 20 years ago, they wouldn't have that problem.
Right.
But it's a very concerted effort, strategy, just to leave it wide open and let them be here, and then pretty soon they can be a Democratic voter.
That's right. That is a concerted effort.
It's come from both parties, in reality. Republicans wanted cheap labor, and the Democrats want new voters.
Yeah.
And that leads to the problems we have everywhere else. They're coming through us, and they're coming to live with you.
Right.
Is the problem.
Yeah, that's true. So what is the answer? I mean, you say that the morale on the with the border agents has increased or is improving. Do you guys talk to these folks on a regular basis?
On a regular basis. Yeah. We met with Border Patrol just a week ago on a stakeholders meeting down in at the Douglas Sector Station, and we meet with them. We have a good relationship with the Border Patrol, and I keep in close contact with the Joint Field Commander, the National Joint Field Commander. He's a good guy, and he is excited that they can now enforce the law. But we keep in contact with them on a regular basis just to make sure there's nothing new or that we need to know about. But they're very excited about the prospect of being able to enforce the law as it stands on the books.
The Border Patrol's had a strategy for around 15 years of defense in depth, which protected the cities along the border and forced them into the rural areas, which left us the first line of defense as rural residents. And there isn't a rural resident in our county that doesn't have a horror story to tell you.
Right.
A home invasion, a vehicle theft, a robbery. It just goes on and on and on. And that was by design from the Border Patrol. And they're a little slow about moving the agents down to the border. The Border Patrol Union resists that somewhat, but most of the powers that be are pretty excited that they're actually going to get to do the job they signed up to do in the Border Patrol,
which would be great.
My main concern is that they still haven't moved the majority of the agents down to the international boundary. Martha McSally, who's our congresswoman, she's the chairman of the subcommittee on border and maritime security, and she asked me to come to D.C. last fall and testify. In my experience, that defense in depth doesn't work. And so I did that, and I felt like there was going to be some progress, yet it still hasn't happened.
So, they can sit back and argue statistics all they want to, but until they get down there and they see what you guys see and they go through what you guys go through, you don't really fully understand the problem with illegal immigrants in this country, do you?
No, you really don't understand it. You know, when you deal with it on a day-to-day basis for 20 years, you get it. And I get it that other people don't get it until it affects them.
Yeah.
it doesn't affect them.
Well, so if you even go into the cities, if you will, along the border, mm-hmm. Nogales, Sierra Vista, close to the border, a lot of Arizona border towns, if you walked in there with your microphone and said, what kind of border problems do you have here
they
in
don't
Sierra
have
Vista,
any.
Arizona,
really?
They would tell you there's not a problem going on anywhere. Those people are clueless that
they've
live
been
in town.
Really effective, the government, mm-hmm. in keeping those people clueless and make them feel safe, and the rest of us are the first line of defense.
We're a small minority of voters.
Right.
So we have very little power.
Yeah. And you're affected the most.
Exactly.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fred and Peggy Davis, best of luck to you. We
Thank
appreciate you.
You.
And it's good to see you again. You guys
are
great.
Thanks for having
see
us
you
on.
Again.
Thank you.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 21 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com, as we are in Washington, D.C. with the Federation for American Immigration Reform and their Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference brought to you by Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Let's go to the phones right now, and we will talk to Bob, who is west of the Ashley. Bob, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I would like to comment on our Congress.
Yeah.
You've heard the expression that it's a big club and you ain't in it.
Right.
That was George Carlin. Well, after years and years as a senior American retired, I have sadly come to the conclusion what we have there in Washington are the Crips and the Bloods. In other words, you've got two gangs that are ruthless, will steal everything you have, murder you,
right.
take away your rights. They bicker amongst one another, but they're on each other's side. We have the Crips and the Bloods, and that's it, brother. It's a serious situation.
It is a very serious situation, Bob, and I think you're right about the thing. You know, they're bickering back and forth with each other, the Republicans hating on the Democrats and vice versa, when we're really the ones that are getting hurt by all of this.
If you've never seen a movie called Inside Job, mm-hmm. I would recommend that to anyone. It's about the 2008 banking crisis.
Right.
Goes in depth better than anything I've ever seen at the utter in-your-face criminality of our Congress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, Bob. I appreciate it. Thanks.
The only thing to correct this, we would have to have a 10 million man and woman march on Washington to get this out.
You are correct about that, Bob. I appreciate you calling in, buddy. And he's right. I'll tell you what, when you get up here to D.C. and you get inside the Beltway, which we are right now, you realize that there is a ruling class in this country. And like Bob said, you ain't in it. And it's hard as it's going to cost you a lot of money to get in it. We're talking millions and millions of dollars to be in that club. And they don't want you in it. And when you do get in it, what are they going to do? You're going to have to earn your way up through the ranks in order to become one of the people who is in good standing. Because I'll guarantee you, you know, you get up to Congress, you get in the House and the Senate, and your first year, when you enter that freshman year, you're not getting any good committee assignments. You're not going to be, you know, you're not getting anything where your face is going to be put up on television a lot. You're not going to be doing a whole lot of interviews. You're going to be in the back room. Maybe you'll have a little sliver of an office. They're certainly not going to pay you enough money to live in this town. It would almost be impossible for a congressman to make enough money to live in this town on his own. That's why a bunch of them share rooms and sleep at the Capitol, because they want to make sure that you're in your place. It would really, if you think about it, how difficult it would be for you to be in office these days. It would be absolutely almost to the point of being insurmountable for you to raise enough money to be thought of well here in Washington. But you really feel it. Once you get inside the Beltway here, you really feel that you ain't in that club, like Bob said. Let's go to Paul. He is out in Somerville and say, good morning, Paul. How are you? Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'd like to point out that all these big shots and all these self-righteous fanatics out there saying, Bill Bridges is not Walt.
Right.
Every single one of them lives in a gated community.
Yeah,
every
that's
single
right.
one. They already right. live behind walls. And the only mm-hmm. time they're going to see any of these illegal aliens or any of these refugees is when they hire them to mow the lawn or to clean out their toilet. That's the only time
that's
they'll
right.
see them.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, look at Obama building a place here. In fact, he bought that rental house while he's off in God knows where. I mean, whatever big money resort that he's hanging out in this week, he's building a wall there at the new house. Katy Perry's in a walled neighborhood with armed security guards. Hillary Clinton lives behind a wall. Why is it such a stretch?
How about look at the Obama sisters there? They went
yeah.
to school, did well, friends. They have a dozen armed security people on their
mm-hmm.
payroll.
Yeah.
They're safer.
That's
their
right.
kids are safer than we are.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So why, it's like we were talking with Fred and Peggy Davis. They don't get it. They don't get what the average American condition is. They
not
don't get
that,
what the average American goes
not
through.
They don't get it. They don't care.
And they don't
they're
care.
They're here to slog away at our jobs and pay taxes to support their cockamamie schemes. You know, every time they want to hand out some goodies to somebody or drop some more bombs on a country full of brown people we ain't never heard of before, oh, we can't miss anybody there that way. And so they can spy on all of us, including this conversation. It's like, that,
yeah.
that's all fine and dandy. You know, it's also, you know, if you think about it, it's related to the fact that why do we not apply the death penalty in this country? There are tens of thousands of stone-cold killers on death row. Why? Because all the big shots who make the rules, they live snug and cozy behind private security details and walls and fences and borders and guards.
Yeah.
They don't care about the rest of us.
Well, and that goes back, Paul, to the fact that they're in the club and you're not, and you're not getting in.
Yeah. Well, look who voted for Hillary last time. Every billionaire in the country, besides the one yeah. who's running against, and all the Bushes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Paul, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250 as we broadcast live from Washington, D.C., just a couple of blocks away from the Capitol. We can actually look out of the hotel here. I am, I'll have to say, a little disappointed. A little disappointed. No protesters out there today. No, we saw a little bitty protest yesterday when we first got here, and honestly, we didn't even know it was a protest. We really didn't even know what was going on. A bunch of people were dressed up, red robes, white hats, walking down the street. I was like, what the heck is that? And we didn't know, and then later on, we found out it was a protest, and we didn't even know it. Doggone it. They ought to announce. They ought to have to wear T-shirts. This is a protest. Thank you. But they were protesting yesterday. I thought there would be some little snowflakes outside the hotel this morning, but apparently there are not. Well, there you go. Doggone it. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Sheriff Thomas Hodson, a great, great guy who is battling illegal immigration, and he's also battling MS-13. He is Bristol County Sheriff from Massachusetts. He is a fantastic guy. He's a great interview. You are going to love this guy. We talked to him a little bit last year, and we'll have him back on this morning as we are broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. with the FAIR Conference on Immigration. Also coming up, we're going to be talking about this CNN story. Doggone it, Thomas, I wish I had enough time for you. If you can hold on, Thomas, through the break, I would love to get to your call because we want to talk about some of these shootings that have been going on in North Charleston and in the Lowcountry, because I'll tell you what, something has got to happen. Another one this morning, this turns out looks like it's going to be a murder situation with this man off Ashley Phosphate Road. More on that coming up in just a minute right here on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9:36, 24 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Thomas in North Charleston. Thomas, you guys got some problems there in North Charleston, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do, man. We sure do. I've got a little theory about it. I could be very incorrect, but I'd like your take on it. Do you think it could be possibly, you know, the area drug bust creates vacuums for new territories or perhaps the real estate market, a.k.a. gentrification or whatever, is crime into new areas and these criminals are fighting for territory and they get into conflict? Do you think that could possibly be it?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of these,
especially
what we've seen like this morning with what happened out on Ashley Phosphate, a lot of these don't seem like it's turf wars. It just seems to be like individuals trying to solve problems by picking up a handgun and dispatching with another human being. I don't really see a lot of this. I think if it were, well, I tell you what, though, Thomas, I mean, when you look at it, the amount of shootings that we have had lately has just been skyrocketing. So with you being a resident of North Charleston, what are you going to be what can you do about this, Thomas?
I think what you could do is, well, you got to arm yourself inside your home, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, we've had home invasions as well, but and a lot of burglaries in the area also. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, just be vigilant. If you get a new neighbor move into your neighborhood, or if you see a new activity at night or even broad daylight that you're not used to seeing,
right,
go ahead and be proactive and report it and just keep observing it, because it might be a new setup in your area and you want to take it out as quick as you can. Just keep reporting it.
That's
reporting,
true.
Reporting it. That's what I would do. But other than that, really, what can you do except get onto the police department and ask them, hey, what are you doing about this? But really, domestic violence and somebody that's hot-headed, that goes back to mental health, and I'm not sure the police department can do much about that.
That is true. That is true. Thomas, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. Best of luck to you. But, you know, a lot of people, I had Steve call in this or send me an email this morning. He's talking about, you know, what else can you do but just get up and leave and just and find another place? But you can't do that. You have got to. You don't want to be a refugee in your own hometown, do you? You don't want to be a refugee. So the community has got to wake up and start doing something about all of this crime, all of these shootings. And you know, like I said, you pick up that phone and you call Crime Stoppers. You pick up that phone and you call 911. You report suspicious activity and do it to the point where you become a nuisance, if you will. You know that when your number pops up on their caller ID, then they know you're going to be reporting some suspicious activity. You've got to keep on top of law enforcement so that they can do the job that they want to do. And speaking of law enforcement, we have on with us Sheriff Thomas Hodgson from Bristol County, Massachusetts. Am I right about that, sir?
You got it, Charlie.
All right, buddy. Good to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you.
Having some problems in North Charleston with some shootings, and a lot of people are wondering what can be done about the crime issue. And I always say that the private citizen is the world's greatest law enforcement division, right? Picking up that phone, calling, reporting suspicious activity, right?
No question about it. That, you know, look, this is a partnership for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's working. It's federal, state, local law enforcement working together.
Right.
It's very, very much similar to the analogy I would give, Charlie, is as far as the people calling and letting us know what's going on,
right,
is what the federal government needs. We have the local, state, and federal, mm-hmm, I mean, local, state, and county, we have our tentacles in the communities. We know the relationships,
yeah,
we know the players. The feds could never do their job without that partnership, with us, mm-hmm, notifying them about this, notifying about that, and vice versa. Likewise, we need the public to do the same thing for us.
Yeah.
Because we're all in this thing together, and first and foremost, I think everybody understands, our responsibility and obligation to them, to the public, is to keep the American citizens and legal residents safe in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we do it, with their help, their support. And that's the fastest, easiest way to have the most tools in our toolbox to do it.
Now, a lot of people say, well, you're in Massachusetts. You don't have a illegal immigration problem. How does it, you're not on the Mexican border. You're not down in Arizona, but you guys do have a problem. What is it about your area that is so attractive to illegal aliens?
Well, I'll tell you, I was trying to become a 287G agency. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I brought two sheriffs from Massachusetts down to meet with ICE. And at the time, they said they weren't taking any more applications. But I said, well, then move us up on the list for for secure communities.
Right.
And so the governor at the time, the previous governor, was fighting me on that.
Yeah.
I got a call from a guy, a border agent in San Diego. And he said, Sheriff, I'm calling you because I saw the article in the paper. And I have to tell you, we have 20 illegals come across our border every day at our checkpoint. We wow. lock them up. We can't hold them because we don't have the capacity.
Right.
So we give them summonses, and they're supposed to come back. They never do. But that's not why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
I'm calling you because I just want you to know out here in San Diego, mm-hmm. the word is go to Massachusetts. That's the place you can go and lay low.
Wow.
And so, look, this whole thing on sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, that's exactly what it does. They become the magnet. If you were going to do a catastrophic event as a terrorist, like the Boston Marathon bombers right. or somebody else, and you wanted to plot and plan that thing, where would you go? Would you go to a place where we're very vigilant, that people are working with us to get the criminals off the street, the criminal aliens and so forth?
No.
Or would you go to a place where you know the government, the people in those local communities are saying, we're going to protect you and provide you a safe
right.
haven?
Right. That's exactly where you
That's what's going on.
Now, like you said, local law enforcement, you've got your tentacles, if you will, out in the community. If those tentacles are cut off by these sanctuary cities, then the feds certainly can't do their job.
That's exactly right. We don't look, if we didn't learn anything, and I was down at my staff and I were down in Ground Zero for 5 weeks.
Mm.
And everybody that went there from across this country learned something very important. We needed to do more, not less. With sharing information, communication,
right.
if we were going to keep our citizens safe. And we have to deal with the here and now and what those circumstances are in our country that change. And in the instances of immigration, it's only changed to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
We need to now strengthen our partnerships, not weaken them, which is what in Massachusetts has been happening. We have bills filed to prevent me from doing the 287G program.
Right. Prevent you.
Prevent me
yeah.
from keeping somebody that was arrested by a community, comes to our place, we identify as foreign-born, determined that ICE wants him. They're trying to prevent us from being able to hold that person and allow him to go back out in the community and victimize somebody else, maybe murder somebody.
I don't understand it. Why? What is the mindset behind that?
You know what it is? I'm in the biggest Democrat enclave in Massachusetts.
Right.
It's a very liberal state. And they believe that, oh, this is helping people. You know, these are people that really need to be helped, and they shouldn't be able to be, you know, determined to be somebody that should be shipped out mm-hmm. of here. And so there is this mindset of elected officials, not the public in general. Because, listen, I've been in 20 years.
Right.
I wouldn't be elected as a sheriff in the biggest Democrat enclave in Massachusetts
right.
if Democrats weren't voting for me, too.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is you have elected officials who are more interested in trying to garner votes from the families of these illegals,
mm-hmm.
people that may be relatives who are here legally, by saying, we'll do what we can to keep them here for you.
Right.
And that's what's been going on, not only in Massachusetts, but across this country. Look, how could any elected official, Charlie, how could any elected official whose obligation, first and foremost, I don't care what mm-hmm. job you have, is to keep the citizens safe. President Trump said it time and time again, and he's right. How could you ignore that at the interests of advancing your political agenda
right.
over the people's agenda?
As party politics.
It's what's going
party
on.
Party politics. Was it Massachusetts where the judge let the woman go because if he had convicted her, she would have been deported? Was it I don't know if you heard about that.
I will tell you one that just happened in Mass. We had a guy who was brought in. He was before the court. The judge found out from the court officers that the ICE officers were waiting outside the courtroom because they were going to grab the guy as soon as he was done.
Right.
And she knew that. So what she did was she said, is the bailiff here in the courtroom downstairs?
Right.
And they said, yes. She gave him a low bail of $2,500 so he wouldn't have to go back to the House of Correction and get bailed out of there because then ICE could have gotten him there. She made sure he got downstairs, bailed out, and that guy went out and he raped a BU, Boston University student.
Wow.
He was an Uber driver.
Yeah.
And this was one of the former governor's appointments who happened to be the head of the Secretary of Public Safety.
And then there's nothing you can do to a judge.
Oh, there is.
Is there?
Oh, look, I testified before Congress not too long ago, and maybe a couple months ago. And they asked me, these people, these elected officials and people who are violating the 1324 of the federal statute.
Right.
Which says you cannot harbor or conceal or attempt to harbor concealed, anyone you know to be in the country illegally.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerning, if you know ICE is out there and you're letting them out the back door, which a judge did do,
that's it.
Then you're doing that. So as far as they said, what should be done, Sheriff? I said, issue arrest warrants on every elected official, any official who violates that federal law. It's a felony under federal law up to five years. And how do you say that an elected official can pick and choose what part of a law they want to follow?
Yeah.
And then if a citizen did the same thing, they'd get the 5 years. They'd get arrested.
That's right, yeah.
But we're not going to do it because they're elected officials? I don't think so.
That's right. We're talking with Sheriff Thomas Hodson from Bristol, Massachusetts. MS-13, you guys dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. We got serious gang issues. No question about it. MS-13 is the most violent, vicious gang in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And we're all dealing with it. You know, every state's become a border state. I think you probably know that.
True, yeah.
And so these gangs have grown. They have become more violent. And MS-13 is vicious. So we're all dealing with these guys, and we're trying as best we can. And why would anyone, again, in public office, want to give them any sense of protection so they can go harm somebody else?
So it just seems like, to me, with MS-13, every crime they commit is an act of terror.
No question. Just being in your community is an act of terror because everybody knows how vicious these people are. I mean, they'll think nothing of putting you in a 50-gallon barrel and pouring fluid over you and lighting you up. That's how they are.
Unbelievable. But with all of that, we've talked about the bad stuff. Is there a silver lining to this cloud? Is there hope with the new administration?
There's no question about it. And, you know, I've been working on immigration reform for 20 years, going back to the days of Henry Hyde and Barney Frank on a bipartisan bill we got through the House.
Right.
Never made it through the Senate. But the reason given me at the time I was told it wasn't going to go through is what stuck in my mind for 20 years. But President Trump is absolutely setting the right tone. He's stepping forward and saying, I'm behind you, sheriffs across this country. You got my back, I got yours. Mm-hmm. And we are going to persevere in this issue. We are going to put the people's safety first, and we are not going to be told by these local elected officials that you either violate the federal law or get disciplined for not doing it.
Right.
Ain't going to happen. We took an oath. You can violate your oath if you want. Right. But under President Trump, he's saying the law has to matter. If you want to change the law, change the law. But in the meantime, we're going to have accountability, and we're going to enforce it, and God bless them for doing that.
Absolutely. Sheriff Thomas Hodson from Bristol County, Massachusetts. Buddy, it's always a pleasure.
Great to see you, Charlie.
We'll
keep up your great work.
We'll do that. Thank you, sir.
WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. 5 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Coming up tomorrow morning, we'll be continuing here from Washington, D.C. at the Federation for American Immigration Reform, the FAIR conference, with their Hold Their Feet to the Fire, talking about immigration. Tomorrow, we will have Brandon Judd on, president of the National Border Control Council. We will also have Kelly Ward, who ran against John McCain in Arizona. And we're going to be having the one and only Michelle Malkin tomorrow. That's around 8:35. You don't want to miss out on that. Michael Harrison will be on with us at 9:06. He's the publisher and editor of Talkers Magazine. So lots of great guests coming up for you tomorrow morning. Just some, you know, we're hearing so many amazing stories about the problems that this country has with immigration, and it just amazes to me, it amazes me why there are folks out there, and I know the answer to the question, but why they put politics before people, why they put politics in front of the security of the people of this country, and it's just... they're doing this all for votes. That's it. They're just trying to build up a huge voter block here in the United States so that they can, win elections from now on. So how are you? Good to see you. Kelly, how are you? Can you sit down? We got you on tomorrow, but can you talk to us for just a second?
Whoever you want tomorrow.
Yeah. Can we just have a chat real quick?
I think I'm on with
with these guys.
Okay, well, you go ahead and go with those guys. We're seeing all kinds of great folks come through there. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Kelly Ward, who will be on. I thought we'd grab her here for a quick second, but she had to go on. She looked a little lost here in the old radio row. It's I mean, if you knew what we were kind of behind curtain cubicles here. And one looks very much like the other one. So, but real nice lady, and can't wait to talk to her coming up tomorrow. So, anyway, when you start, we're just talking off air with Sheriff Hudson, and he explains to a lot of people that if you looked out of your window and you saw a tent in your backyard that wasn't there yesterday, and there was somebody living in that tent, and if that person, you are now responsible for that person, you have to feed that person, you have to clothe that person, you have to make sure that person gets educated, you have to take care of that person's medical bills. If that person goes out and commits a crime, they're not going to move him off of your property. They are going to wait until they get three convictions, not three arrests, three convictions before they even start considering deportation. That is where we are in this country right now. And I don't understand that. And that's why it is so important. When you guys, you know, we saw the 5th District in South Carolina, that race, how dismal the voter turnout was. How, and I will use the word pathetic, it was, that so few people were showing up. Because why? Because it wasn't a big, sexy presidential race. It wasn't a big, sexy Senate race. Well, still, it was a race for the House of Representatives. And these are our lawmakers, and we got to make sure we get as many right-thinking people in there as we possibly can, because if not, we're going to have more of this in the future. That's exactly what we're going to keep getting, exactly what we've got right now. And that is people who are more than willing to put politics ahead of people, put politics ahead of national security, put votes ahead of your children and their security, because it doesn't matter to them as long as they are in power.